Welcome to Leadership Reimagined, Episode 9. Bill Dennis, CEO of Metro Collaborative, and I discuss the importance of creating a safe space in which leaders can share their concerns, their challenges, and get feedback. During each episode, we look at leadership from the vantage point of what it's going to take for leaders to lead their organizations forward into a new future. I'm Dr. Jane Levis, your host. Well, good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, Jane. I'm good. It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, great. That's wonderful. So, Bill, you want to take a minute and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I've been in healthcare for 45 years. I started off as a biofeedback therapist and yoga teacher. I became a psychotherapist. I also had some background in software back in the many years ago, and began when I got married, simultaneously computerizing medical practices and dental practices, and then switched to consulting clinicians for initially technology, and later for soft skills, for lack of a better term, you know, human resources, communications, and more recently, creating interdisciplinary collaborative groups for the purpose of community and connection. In these years, I also met a beautiful woman that had built a retreat center down in the Caribbean. So we spend time there helping others give successful retreats and workshops. We have room for about 55 people there. And we have several acres on the ocean with yoga teachers and many, many different cuisines and so forth. So that's a big passion. We're actually headed down there later this week, all God willing, we'll see. But yeah, my work now is focused a little more on creating programs and groups for clinicians to reduce stress, to pivot business-wise in the age of COVID, and to connect with each other and create better communication between disciplines and a better understanding of the different modalities of healing available, particularly in some of our big cities on the East Coast here.
And that was one of the things we wanted to talk about in reimagining leadership, is in so many instances, there are these isolated groups and there isn't the cross collaboration and the conversations that allow everyone to be more productive. And that's one of the things that you're especially in the health field, in the medical field, that you're looking at creating, are those collaborative groups and bringing multidisciplines together to have conversations.
Yes, it's not easy. We've been doing this for about 12 years now in this model, and we've only had two instances that I can think of where there have been disagreements, let's say. Someone thinking that their discipline has the answer and not the other discipline. And of course, there are areas that are gray in terms of alignment and agreement. But for the most part, everybody who makes a commitment to share what they're doing and listen to what others are doing, many productive relationships have come out of this. And it's been very gratifying.
And I think that's the key, is to be committed to listening and to sharing.
Yeah, it takes a listening to, you know, for someone to feel safe. If you're not going to be listened to, it's very hard to share.
Yeah. And what would you say has been some of the biggest benefits that you've seen? Because we actually want to encourage that in other disciplines. You know, we've talked about that for CEOs and bringing CEOs together to create those conversations. And what do you see as some of the benefits?
I think one benefit is really, especially in this crisis that we're in, is connection. Another is really understanding how this person can help my clients or my patients. We have had a number of CEOs of home care companies participate with our groups, and that has been very successful. I'm trying to think of what other. I haven't had a lot of experience working with CEOs, but we've talked about this.
So we were talking about, you know, the benefits of this for CEOs and bringing them together so that they've got a safe and creating that safe space for them to have conversations, because everybody's feeling somewhat isolated.
And especially if you own the business, you really don't have these peers that you're working with all day long and that you're often having so much in common with. You're the exception. You're the person who has to make the decisions. I've had a lot of experience working with large dental practices, for instance, and particularly the owners or the partners. And it's really different worlds. You know, you have management and you have a staff that's in a different universe than the partners or the owners. And for owners, particularly, to gain perspective because of this isolation. And similar with home care companies, we had at one of our meetings a couple of weeks ago, an owner of a home care company, a pretty very reputable high-end home care company that had almost 1,000 caregivers. You know, very difficult when you think of COVID and vulnerability of all of them and the difficulty, the legal issues, the payroll issues, and so forth. It's difficult position.
Yeah, and who do they talk to? Who do they brainstorm with? Especially if they're very uncertain about what's going on. There sometimes are things you're just not quite ready to share, because it may take people down a path that, like, oh, are we even going to survive this? And right. Having a space and having some perspective from other CEOs can actually provide valuable feedback too.
Yes. For 10 or 12 years before doing these interdisciplinary groups, I worked with created groups in Florida, Boston, New York, Philly, and DC. Groups of owners of dental practices. And all of them had this in common, that they owned dental practices. They all had the payroll. They all had the issues around patient care. And it was strictly talking about business issues. We'd meet for 5 hours with each group, you know, in each location, about 10 times a year. Sometimes people came from great distances. A few would come in by plane, and it was a very times tense, because someone would have something they wanted to talk about. It would be a difficult subject. It would be a struggle to find solutions, because there aren't always easy solutions.
Mm-hmm. What did you see, and what do you think they saw was the benefit of pushing through on those hard conversations? Because sometimes it's like, I just don't want to have those conversations because they're too hard.
You know, we all have our blind spots. And usually it's those blind spots that are preventing us from finding a good solution. It may not be easy, because the blind spot is uncomfortable for us either to hold firm or to be softer or to be more understanding, being willing to listen, being willing to question, being willing to sometimes let go of control, and especially to kind of go through this process in front of peers. But the funny thing is, if you do it that way, there tends to be tremendous honesty. And with the honesty comes solutions. Mm-hmm. You know, comes solutions.
Yeah.
So it's a little different from the groups we have now, which is more around understanding modes of care and methodologies for different issues. Although we are considering because there's so many issues that clinicians are having and others in this dual crisis, at least a few crises that we're having right now from a business perspective. So I'm considering in the fall creating a group for just around business issues. I think it will relate though specifically to healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what happens. I have some sense, but I've gotten away from some of these conversations over the last several years. We've done more and more of the interdisciplinary work, which is also difficult work.
I would imagine has some of the same foundation, because the foundation of groups like this is listening and authenticity.
Yes.
So yes. Even if you're, how do things work together versus how do I work in my business? It's the, if you can't share and listen to someone else, you're not going to build those bonds to be able to work together either.
Right. It's and the funny thing is that if we know each other, if we understand each other, there is the possibility of working together. But if those two things aren't present, there's no possibility.
Right.
It's been a process, and you know, I think men sometimes have more difficulty with this kind of thing than women do. So I've tended to cultivate that side of myself lately, and it seems to be working. I don't know. Certainly, it's certainly enjoyable. I as the years go on, I'm enjoying my work more and more. I do believe that though these multiple crises are painful, and probably will continue to be painful to us as a society and as leaders, that we're going to be learning things that we could not otherwise learn, and at an accelerated pace as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm doing things I didn't think I would be able to do or didn't dream of doing even. And it's only been, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, and we're looking maybe at really an extended period of major transition.
Yeah, I was reading an article just before our fall, and that things that are happening now, we're not going to go back to the way life was before. So anyone that's thinking is when we get back to normal, there will never be that normal. And humans are really good at creating a new normal.
Yeah.
So the good part of it, the piece is that humans are very resilient. We have a lot of just innate resilience in us. And we also have an opportunity to learn and make some changes in how we have been doing things so that we don't have to repeat some of these same things again. And if we can
right.
move forward in that.
I've been drawn to go back to the Second World War, when there was a time all over the world that people were being profoundly affected, even more so than we have been so far, certainly with this crisis, and it completely changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do have to go back that far for perspective on profound events that we may be in the middle of. A lot of these wars, you know, they always thought, oh, it's going to be over in a couple months. You know, how many times have leaders and others thought this? And I think that we may have that same tendency with what we're starting in this change, this major transition.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's economic bubbles and market bubbles and all kinds of different misperceptions of the future. I think that we have to, as leaders, again, be very honest with what reality is and what illusions are and what blind spots and bubbles there are with our assumptions about the future and assumptions with what's going on even. But there are, fortunately, you know, great podcasts and great books, great thought leaders and business leaders and others who are making a difference. But I think everyone has to step up, and we all have to take on more responsibility if we want to really learn from this and really transform ourselves so that we're in this new era. We're not kind of waxing nostalgic and wishing we were back in 2018.
Right.
You know, the good old days. Usually they're not so good if we look at them, you know, relative to the opportunities of the present too. I think, yeah, one of the things my wife keeps saying about what's going on now, for instance, is that, you know, everyone's talking about this, about, you know, as though somebody's supposed to find solutions for us, but what about us creating immunity? You know, what about us getting healthy? What about us, you know, not being as vulnerable as that we would otherwise? And it's certainly possible for us to do this. And, and I think this is a role healthcare should be playing, and some are, certainly. I ran into a summit this morning that you know, these things were being discussed, and there are articles, there are books being written on this, but you have to look a little deeper.
Deeper. And we want to be very careful of blaming the individual versus also being responsible.
Yeah.
You know, when, because oftentimes for those of us that can or have a voice to make a difference, we're coming from it. We have the freedom to say what we want to say and make that difference.
Yeah.
And others oftentimes don't have that freedom to whether it's taking care of themselves healthy. They live in food deserts. They don't have the healthcare opportunities that those of us have. They don't have the financial resources. And then to say, well, if you took care of yourself, you would be less exposed to the virus or the impacts of the virus or the and it's like, okay, well, that's the blaming the victim, because when the individual is totally responsible for all these things, when you don't have the resources, what you have very limited opportunities. And that's the piece I'm seeing. And, you know, we have such disparity, and we also have I'm not responsible for anyone else either, you know. Yeah. The question I wanted to ask, and this was, you know, this was just related to COVID specifically, but it's sort of that same thing as, you know, my rights. Most people don't question the fact that we wear seatbelts in our cars.
Right.
But wearing a mask is taking away my First Amendment rights.
Well.
And, you know, that self-centeredness that we have. And that's, I think, another place where leadership really gets to, because there's also an impression that there are a lot of leaders that are just very self-centered.
Yeah, we're hearing this about some of the texts. This is a blind spot, because to the degree that we are, we're cutting ourselves off from learning. We're cutting ourselves off from healing. We're cutting ourselves off from collaborations. There tends to be an extreme closing smaller world that occurs. And it's sad. I think it comes from fear, and it comes from a certain lack of mentors and education. You know, I think sometimes education can be too technical. Mm-hmm. It can be too single discipline. I just need to learn this one thing and then I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll be able to charge what I want for my time, and that's all I really need to worry about. And, you know, that creates some problems for that person as well as for the society.
Yeah.
And I feel so fortunate. I was telling my son last week that I participated in a number of groups through really all of my life, and in every one of these groups, I didn't have a mentor. I had many mentors. Mm-hmm. And just usually they were, at least in one period, they were all 10 years older, 20 years older, and gradually they're kind of my age, some of them, and some of them I guess are younger these days too, because there's some wonderful leaders coming up that we can learn from. And but it is important, I think, a certain humility, so that we can take on this role of just you know, having time to not be in control or not be trying to do something, but maybe learn something, or
right,
being willing to have a collaboration. And you and I, you know, we only have spent a few hours at the most together, but we've already, in our spare time, so to speak, start mentioning different possibilities, and, you know, are able to gradually understand each other more because we've been willing to spend this time to just understand each other.
Right.
I'm grateful for that.
So am I. And those are the being willing to listen and being willing to have conversation.
Yeah.
And we've both expanded our thinking because of our conversations and seen new possibilities. And the one thing, we've got just a few minutes left, and the one thing I wanted to bring back, come back to, because I just am wondering about that, is you've got, you know, your retreat center that you mentioned, and right now with still restrictions on travel and things like that. And yet what I also see is, in the near future, the need for that restorative space that so many of us are going to need to deal with what we've been through and create the space for expansion again.
Right, right. It takes perspective. It takes time to step back at that 40,000 feet up perspective. And usually for most of us, that means a different location.
Exactly.
And one that really brings a certain presence to nature. You know, we're going down for 6 weeks this time, and I'm expecting to really be immersed in nature mm-hmm. for a large percentage of that time. And we try to do it here. I mean, every Sunday we take a 5-mile hike in some remote area of Maryland or Virginia. Mm-hmm. And that does give perspective, and it does rest certain parts of me, but it will certainly fulfill another, assuming, you know, everything goes well and we're able to get away Sunday, it will provide a much deeper level of rest, which is important as
right,
well.
Right, because there's a part of that getting out of your current environment.
Yeah.
And clearing your calendar and just making space in a different way so that, and giving yourself some time to begin letting go of things, letting go of those conversations that are running through your head. Oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing this, which is why a going away type retreat is so powerful. Then there's minimal you can do. So you just go, okay, I can't do anything about it right now. Let me just be where I'm at. And most of us are so at where we're being that we're dealing all the time that we don't have time for that reflection and allowing what could be to come up.
Yeah, I love that word allowing. It really, it's a feminine capability, I think.
Yeah, you know, there's the making things happen, but sometimes you have to allow before you can make something happen.
Yeah, creating space.
So anything more you wanna say? Any final words?
Well, I'm grateful to you for, you know, this conversation, and I look forward to continuing it either within our space or within whatever space you would like. I'm open.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll be continuing these conversations. Yeah. However they get continued. And if anybody wants to reach out to you, how can they connect with you, Bill?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, Bill Dennis. Bill@metrocollaborative.com is my email. My phone number is 609-876-9163.
And I'll be sharing that on the podcast too, but I just want people to be able to, as they're listening, to know how to get hold of you.
Thank you. Yeah, we'd love to help people lead retreats or take retreats, and certainly help people to become entrepreneurs, particularly if it's related to wellness and health.
Well, thank you, Bill. This has been great. And keep me posted if you leave this week, and let me know how it's going. Thanks for joining us this week on Leadership Reimagined. Make sure to visit our website, lovisconsulting.com, to access previous shows and learn more about us.